All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. So I'm here with Ed Finkler. And Ed Finkler, really interesting cat that I met in the PHP community some number of years ago.
Eight years ago.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Anyways, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. So what we're here to talk about today is Ed is at the center of a movement that is about open sourcing mental health. So Ed, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, it really started coming up on 3 years ago. And I do a podcast with a guy, Chris Hartjes, called Development Hell, where he's two old guys who have been doing web development for a long time, pretty much complained about.
And Chris's Twitter handle is like Grumpy Programmer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So both a couple of grumpy guys talking about web development, basically. Right. And we and it was episode 15, and I remember we had I had actually just come back from a PHP conference. And through no fault of the conference, I had a really bad experience. Now, I should give you a little background. I've been dealing with depression and anxiety issues, and it turns out ADHD, for most of my life. Some of that stuff was diagnosed when I was a teenager. Some of that stuff was diagnosed later. And so I've been dealing with that for a long time. And I knew that, and I had, you know, had gotten to the point, you know, by a few years ago, that I was fairly open to talking about it, but, you know, amongst friends and things like that. So I had this really rough experience at this conference, and it was one of these things where, and if anybody who has medical things going on and has to take medication, or I also have sleep apnea, so I have a CPAP machine, and I'd recently started having to use that. And so I go to this conference, I forgot my CPAP, I forgot my meds, so I got terrible sleep, I got sick because I couldn't sleep, and I was just this horrible frame of mind. It was very bad, it was dark, it was depressing, it was a hard thing to go through, and it was really hard because, you know, normally these conferences are a place where you get to see people who maybe haven't seen for a little while, you get to, you know, interact with other members of the community. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of, because I go to a lot of them, these are a lot of people who are my friends, and I only see at these things. And so, you know, this was supposed to be a good experience, and it hasn't always been, and this was really, really bad. Again, no fault of the conference.
Right.
It was just how I dealt with stuff. And so I thought about it a little bit, and I said, Chris, you know, the guy who I host the podcast with, I said, Chris, I think I'd like to talk about this and talk about kind of what it was like and to talk about how I deal with these things, sort of in the context of just being a human being, you know, and what it's like to be a person dealing with this kind of stuff, but also in the context of being a developer, being active as an open source community member, being a techie kind of guy and those kinds of things. And so he was like, well, you know, usually we're kind of really lighthearted on it, you know, and so he's like, boy, that doesn't sound very funny, but okay, we'll give it a shot, right? And so he did, and he was, you know, that hasn't been his experience, but he was like, okay, let's give it a shot, man. You want to do this? All right. So I get on there, and basically I talk for an hour, and I kind of ramble about just what it's been like what it's been like since I was 12, 13 and started to really have a lot of problems. And and so we talk about this, and I, you know, we put this episode up and wonder what's it going to be like? Are people going to be, oh, I don't want to listen to this, whatever, you know, because it's not the kind of vibe we usually have at the podcast, right? And so, but we got still to this day, and we've done over 70 episodes. The largest response we've ever gotten, and all positive, positive response we've gotten about any topic, any of our episodes, this huge response. People emailing us, writing us in, writing to us other ways, talking to us on Twitter, and lots of people saying, yeah, I deal with the same kind of stuff, and saying to me that it's like, it's so amazing that you're talking about this and things like that. And I'm like, I don't know. For me, it was like I felt like I had to talk about it, and I had to kind of talk about it for myself. Later on, my therapist a few months ago said that I have a confessional personality, and I think that's very accurate. For one reason or another, I have this thing where like I want to be understood, and so I talk a lot about the stuff that I deal with, and I kind of, for somebody who has anxiety issues and things like that, I'm really okay with talking about that kind of stuff. I tend to overshare, I guess, right. You know, more, a lot more than what some people would.
Right.
And so that was this thing where it's like, you know, you hit on something, you can tell you hit on something because of that response. That this is not the response. And I've been giving conference talks about JavaScript and PHP and stuff like that, and I enjoy doing that, and I really like that, especially in open source communities, that collaborative learning and sharing what you've done and things like that, and that's what I really love about it. And all that was really cool. Never have I felt like I hit something like that, that this was something that was really special. Yeah. And I thought for a few months, what am I supposed to do with this? And I thought, you know, I thought maybe I wanted to, you know, start a website or something, a community or things like that. And, you know, all that sounded like a lot of work. So,
You got anxious about it.
Yeah, right, well, kind of. I mean, I have ADHD. I have difficulty sometimes kind of sticking stuff. So the things that I know I'm going to be like, I'm going to do a big project, I really have to think about what I can commit to and stuff like that. And that it did, none of those things struck me that way. The thing that did strike me about it was, but you know what I'm good at? I'm good about talking about it. And I'm pretty good at talks at conferences and talking to people about this stuff. And I feel pretty good about that. And that's something that I can do. So I decided that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to start talking at conferences. So I gave, you know, I proposed this talk, and it was called Open Sourcing Mental Illness. And it was really just a talk that was about, these are the kinds of things I deal with. That was it. It was what you might call kind of an awareness talk.
Yep.
It's like, this is just my experiences. I'm not trying to draw any of the larger conclusions. This is just what I'm dealing with. So I'm doing that, and I get this talk accepted. Actually, I got another talk accepted at PHP Tech about 3 years ago, but I did it as an unconference talk. Mm-hmm. I had unconference talks there. There were a lot of people in the room, and just the same thing. Everyone thought this was just such a great talk, and talking about how powerful it was and all this stuff. And I'm like, whoa, this is, I feel like I kind of got something there.
Right.
And I did a fundraiser on Indiegogo because I was like, this is expensive. Not all of us have that Microsoft, that account that we can draw upon, so.
And by this, you mean flying to conferences and speaking at the conferences and those types of things.
Yeah, exactly, because it's expensive.
Right.
I mean, it's some of the conferences cover costs for speakers, some of them don't, you know, so it just varies. And so in that context then, we look at that and we say, okay, well, what we've got to do is go ahead and try to raise some money.
Right.
So I think I tried to look at getting $2,500, which maybe got me to about two conferences. And we went above that, we raised like over $5,000. It was great. So it was really, that was impressive. And I started hearing and running into other people who are talking about this stuff. Eamon Leonard actually talked to me about, hey, we're trying to do some stuff. And he went on to found a thing along with some people like Greg Bogus, mm-hmm. some other folks have found a thing called Prompt, which is an organization I worked with for a while who specifically is trying to get people to talk about mental health and tech. And have speakers come and talk at conferences, talk at companies and things like that. So that's kind of how that got started. And since then, I think what happened was I would be talking about this stuff and I would say, well, what do we want to do? Like, what are we doing about this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing for me to come out, and I can tell you my story every time, you know, that's interesting. But I'm kind of start thinking about, like, well, okay, but is this a larger issue, and how are we dealing with this issue?
Yeah.
And so I start getting into, like, well, what's some of the economic impact? How prevalent is this kind of stuff? You know, what happens in the tech community? What are workplaces like? Because especially that workplace thing.
Yeah.
Because there's two things to think about. First off, in the U.S., at least, the primary conduit for all healthcare is your workplace.
Right.
Very few people can afford medical insurance and medical coverage on their own.
Yeah.
Very few people. So as a consequence, it's basically you have to have a job and they pay for part of your health insurance, stuff like that.
Right.
Most people
have
to be in a good position for that. So how your workplace deals with that is one thing. And then the second thing is how are we, what are the things that are most important? And Josh, I could ask you this, you know the answer. What impacts, you know, what's the most important part of a developer's body, I guess,
absolutely, and it's one of the reasons that my wife is okay with me doing things like mountain biking.
Yeah,
is that she knows that if I break both my arms and both my legs,
yeah,
I'm still gonna have a job because it's this thing that actually makes my money.
Yeah, as long as your fingers can still move, and eventually we're gonna get past that.
We're getting there slowly. There was an article I read and a video that I watched recently mm-hmm. about a guy who hooked up one of those brain wave scanners.
Yeah, right.
And he's able to type with his brain
okay.
at close to 100 words a minute.
Well, it's better than I can type, I think.
Exactly.
It's better than all my life.
However, the engine behind it is ADD, sorry.
hey, I'm right with you. I got the same thing.
We both ran down that rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
The engine is written for paragraphs and for text.
Sure.
You know, it's not
sure.
written for not typing gonna, or for code yet.
And that's a very different thing. Yeah, it's a very different engine.
Yeah,
the way that we process.
We're not
it.
Far from that.
No, we're not. We're not. The thing that affects you know, the most is how's your brain working? Whatever you want to call it, the thinking right. stuff, you
yeah.
know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. yeah.
And I don't have a background in psychology or psychiatry. Right. I mean, I have a background.
Yeah. So this is something. It's kind of important to bring up and just make sure that it's crystal clear to everybody. Ed is not a medical. Medical field, and is not a licensed therapist or medical professional, mental health professional, or anything like that. I'm not either.
Yeah. Right.
We're two guys that. To be honest, suffer from this because I mean,
so
I've joked about the fact that I'm ADD for I don't know forever, mm-hmm. and I am. I got officially diagnosed in probably 2008, so not terribly long ago, but I had suffered with this most of my life, yeah. And then a friend of ours recommended a book called Delivered from Distraction.
Oh, yeah,
and mm-hmm. I went and picked up the book mm-hmm. About 7-8 months later after my wife had told me a dozen times to pick it up.
Yeah, right.
But eventually I got a copy of it.
Yeah.
And I popped open and they've got a self-diagnosis
sure.
chapter.
Yeah, worksheets.
I worked through the worksheet mm-hmm. and if you have more than X number of questions, you should probably go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And I hit like 124 of 128 questions.
Great score.
Great score.
You're gonna get some good schools with that.
And so the four that I missed are, and this is indicative of you know what I've suffered with ADD.
Sure.
About the four that I missed on were people with ADD tend to have extremely low self-esteem.
Often, yes.
Because mm-hmm. yes. we tend to have bad feelings about ourselves.
Right.
Because we're not able to get our expense report in on time.
Yep.
We're not able to get you know other things done, and so we feel like we're told our entire lives if you just work harder.
Yep.
Just concentrate a little harder. If you just mm-hmm. do this a little harder, and the reality is, this is one of my big takeaways from the book. I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, right.
But right. because of that low self-esteem and that feeling of I'm a bad person, people with ADD oftentimes end up in relationships that are emotionally abusive.
Yes,
and I got mm-hmm. lucky, and I married a wonderful woman.
Yeah, who's supportive,
who's very loving and very
you,
supporting and very
you.
Caring
yep.
for me,
yep.
and that is something that if I if I'd not gotten lucky there, I would have hit 128 questions. Out of
oh, sure. Absolutely. And you know, what you say there is so important because it's one thing, we know lots of people who maybe they're, you can tell that they work a little differently than, say, your average Joe.
Right.
Your normative, you know, psychological
yep.
activity. And then there's some people who just kind of process things differently, and that varies. There's some people who have lots of different things, and some people, they're fine, and it doesn't interfere with their productivity, and they still have good self-esteem, they still get stuff done. Great, that's fine. Well, there's some people who, it you know, for one reason or another, it kind of interferes with their productivity. It interferes with their happiness or their peace or how
yep.
they get along in society, and oftentimes that is really dictated by what does society expect from them? What does society tolerate?
Right.
And, you know, I felt for the longest time, and sometimes I still feel like this, that there's something wrong with me, that it seems like if I just could focus and work harder, there's so much stuff I would get done, and I can't get it done, and what's wrong with me, and you feel broken.
Right.
And when you feel that way, you feel like you don't work in the world.
Yeah.
No matter how capable you are and all that potential you have, you lose all motivation and you feel completely disassociated from all of your social groups.
Absolutely.
And so when, you know, you could feel that way for a lot of reasons, but at the end of it, you know, if we think about it from in terms of developers, if they're having a good or a bad day sort of emotionally, and they're somebody who deals with things like depression, anxiety, other kinds of things that affect their mood and affect how they're processing things and how they do stuff, or, you know, how do they organize their life or how disorganized their life is and what kind of help do they have around them, that can have a massive impact.
Absolutely.
On how productive they're going to be and and just how, if they're happy people or not.
Right.
And there's lots of very good evidence that happy people, that people who feel respected and feel supported and feel cared about, those are people that you want as your employees because they stick around and they work hard.
Right.
Now they don't, you know, and that doesn't mean they work crazy hours and stuff like that. There's tons of stuff.
But they're more productive.
Right. Yes.
And they get more, there's more output if they're mentally healthy.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, I could go on a whole spiel about it, right? But at the end of the day, the fact is that people who are happy and feel respected and feel like they're going into an environment, potentially going into an environment that respects people and tolerates their psychological diversity and tries to accommodate them, that's a place you want to work. And that's a place you're going to stay.
Yep.
And everybody knows that, you know, you don't want to keep turning people over. You want to attract the best talent.
Yep.
And that's how you do that. You establish workplaces that are supportive of that.
Right.
And I've been lucky in the sense that I've had piecemeal managers who have typically been very supportive of what I deal with. And part of it is probably because when it comes down to it, I'm more willing to talk about it and describe to them what's going on.
Right.
Not everybody is, but people shouldn't have to be.
Well, and I've had, and I think we've had this conversation, I've had two managers, and I'm not going to name names.
Sure.
One of whom I told I was ADD, and he said, okay, help me understand that, and how can we mitigate the weaknesses and play to your strengths?
Great. That's the kind of response you want.
And he and I had phenomenal success together. Mm-hmm. I had another one who blamed my ADD for anything that went wrong on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter if I was even involved in the project. It was Josh's ADD that was the problem. And that made me feel horrible, and I almost quit over that.
Yeah.
But here, let me... So, you talked about it.
Yeah.
The people started talking about it.
Yeah.
And people started responding.
Yeah.
My personal story on this is that, I've joked about the fact that I was ADHD for a long time, but I had not really talked about the dark side of ADD.
Absolutely.
The depression that I fight because of my ADD, the low self-esteem, I hadn't talked about any of that side of the world until I heard you, and it was you and Greg and the fellow from New York.
Patty.
Yeah,
Patty Foran. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You, Patty, and Greg got up and talked at a PHP Tech. It was one of the keynotes
there. Yeah.
And since then, I've started talking about the dark side of my issues and my conditions as well.
Right.
And the response that I get is, yeah, I suffer with that too. What do you do? And so
that's the next step.
And so I talk about, you know, well, I went to a therapist and I got meds, and there's, all different types of meds. These ones worked for me, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Right.
But step one is admitting that you have a problem. Step two is going to find help. What is the next step here with open sourcing mental health? And if somebody out here right now has a problem, what should their next step be?
Yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, we focus a lot on kind of what workplaces could do to be more supportive, but at the end of the day, the workplace you're in or the situation you're in, you have to deal with that, and you want to move forward and you got to get help.
Yep.
If you're in a good position where you have good medical insurance and things like that, the typical thing that seems to work well is you go probably to your primary care physician and you ask for a referral.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this could be different. You're watching this out of this outside of the states. Right. That's, it could be a whole different thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know. You guys are lucky in many respects.
Yeah. Once again, we're not medical professionals.
No.
We're saying go to a medical professional and get a referral to a mental health specialist.
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is there's a lot of doctors who, and I think smartly, will say you need to talk to somebody who has a specialization in this area. Yeah. Now, there's some who will still say, hey, you know, I can try to help you out, and that's fine. But my experiences have been, and anecdotally and talking with people who work in the health industry, is that your general practitioner just is, they're really not in a great position to be able to treat you well, and especially to delve into, okay, what's really going on here and things like that. And so you want to work with somebody who has specialization in that area. And so that's the first thing is going, if you're in a position, again, you have medical insurance, you have a primary care physician, go to your physician and ask for a referral. And often you will need that referral for insurance purposes, but it can vary. So it's very important that you know what your coverage is.
Right.
Look those things up. There are probably things like, well, we will pay for this group of doctors or this group of therapists or this group of psychiatrists. So a psychiatrist is being a mental health professional who is a medical doctor, somebody who's a psychologist or therapist. They can't prescribe you medication, but they can do other kinds of therapy with you.
And if you have a question on that, just call your insurance company and just ask them.
Yes. Exactly. And then ask them.
I've looked through. I couldn't figure it out. I just called them.
Yeah, and you don't have to tell them, well, this is what's going on with me.
Right,
and stuff like
that.
That's not their business. You just say, okay, well, what kind of coverage do you have? And if so you just look into that. Now, if you can't do that, or you're not sure where to go, or you're just like, it's hard for a lot of people to just get over that step of like looking for somebody.
Yeah.
And so what I say is that one thing is that there's not necessarily a lot of like, there's not like a Yelp for mental health resources.
Right.
Right, so you can't go and like say, I want the best Korean barbecue in the city I'm in now in San Antonio. Well, unfortunately, there's not good resources like that. Or, you know, to find like, I need somebody who's a really good, who deals with anxiety, this particular anxiety disorder that I think I'm dealing with, and is really, it does X, Y, and Z. It's really hard to kind of find that kind of stuff. You can kind of get it, but I think the best idea is you want to start being aware of what your local resources are. There's a couple organizations, NAMI, National Alliance for Mentally Ill, I think, NAMI.org. You can look them up and find your local chapter. And then the other organization I've worked with, my local chapter a lot, is Mental Health America. And those local chapters, you can call them. They'll often have a crisis line you can call. They'll often just, you can just call them up and say, I'm not sure what to do. So if I don't have insurance or whatever, or if you do have insurance, you're just not sure where how to proceed, they can help you get through this stuff and find and help identify those local resources. Like locally in Mental Health America for Tippecanoe County, where I live in Indiana, they have like a biweekly anxiety disorder support group, for example, to talk with other people who are working with that. That's another valid way to get help.
Right.
I guess the key thing is that if you're the person who's dealing with this stuff, keep working at it. Even if you run into somebody, there's nothing wrong with you run into somebody and you're like, I do not like this doctor. I don't like this psychiatrist. I don't like this therapist. Well, go find somebody else. You wouldn't stick with the same general practitioner if you thought they were a jerk or you didn't like them or you didn't get along with them. You didn't like the person. Then find somebody else.
Right.
And the second thing is just keep working on it. And there's not a magic thing for it, but there's a lot of people who do understand. And at least 20% of the population in the U.S., and it seems to be across the globe, deals with some sort of mental health issue like this.
Well, I've also found that our industry as developers tends to attract a lot of people with issues as well.
We're trying to do surveys, and we did a survey in 2014, and I'm actually real close to pushing out another one, specifically for people who work in tech, to find out the kinds of things that they deal with.
Yeah.
One of the things we don't know, because there has been almost no research done for people who work in tech, and particularly what are the kinds of people who work in developer, who are, say, developer types, and what are the kinds of things that they commonly deal with? Like, is there more of a predilection for, let's say, ADHD? than there is in the general population.
Right.
Or is there, you know, we don't know. There's anecdotal stuff that you'd kind of say, well, maybe, because in some ways, certain kinds of, the ways that your brain works and the way that, say, my brain works is sometimes very hard and difficult to deal with, but at the same time, it also is advantageous for me and my job.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so that's, you know, ADD has been my biggest nemesis and my biggest strength.
Ooh, absolutely.
You know, going into programming and such. All right, so if you are sitting out there and you're suffering with something, don't suffer in silence. Go get some help. Talked a little about that. If you still need some more help, plug this, open sourcing mental health, into your favorite search engine, and you'll find this page.
Yep.
And you'll find that pretty mug right there.
Yep.
He's got awareness, education, and resources there. Now, your organization also works with companies who are, on how to have a inclusive and supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at a company and you'd like that to be a supportive and inclusive environment, you can probably contact Ed and
yeah, all you can find all the contact info at OSMI, open sourcing mental illness help.org. So OSMIhelp.org.
Yeah, the URL is not there, but the contact button right there is.
Yep.
And so you can find that.
Goes right to me.
So my name's Josh Holmes. You can find me at joshholmes.com or on Twitter at Josh Holmes. And your Twitter address is
Funkatron, FUNKATRON.
All right. And the website is
OSMIhelp.org.
Fantastic. Ed, this has been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And everybody out there, feel free to reach out. You can reach out to me, you can reach out to Ed, reach out through the website. If you're having issues, if you know somebody who's having issues, or if you want some help with your workplace, we're here to help.
Absolutely.
Thank you.